6 today. There's a lot of theology going on here. We won't go through all of it. You could spend several weeks going verse by verse, especially through Romans. God, through Paul, this, in my opinion, is really the center of Scripture. It tells us that we're lost, tells us how bad off we are, tells us what Christ has done for us, tells us how to come to Christ, and tells us how to live after that. So there's a lot of theology going on here, but we're going to break it down really just to 2 points. And if you want a title for a sermon, God's grace gives us 2 reasons not to sin. We're going to start in verse 1. We'll read through verse 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if you have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died for sin once and for all. But the life that he lives in the God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God and Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't really have a really good understanding of grace as Americans. I'll listen to Clark Howard, comes on, he's a consumer advocate. Or check your email and you'll get all those offers, like the Canadian Royal Bank wants to issue you a check for $1 million because you won the lottery. And those people will call Clark Howard, and all he wants is my Social Security number and my bank account. Should I give it to him? And I'm thinking, did you buy a lottery ticket? Were you even in Canada? And yet, automatically when we hear something's given for free, a trigger goes off in our brain. Where's the catch? There's always a catch. Let me see the fine print. When there's ever an offer on TV, you know, for like a half a second at the very end of the commercial, they flash those big white letters, tiny white letters. You've got to find out why. You know what? Nothing is free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard that. And so when we get to the concept of grace, the God of the universe is going to give you something you absolutely, no cost to you, that trigger still, hey, there's got to be a catch here. We try to want to do something to earn our salvation. Maybe now that we're saved, we feel we have to do things to keep our salvation. We just don't really understand, live out grace the way God has intended. God has given it to us free. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm not really that bad a guy. Look at those people I work with. Those people that, you know, that my neighbors. Those people, I understand it. You know, they need a lot of God's grace. But I just need a little bit. The first 3 chapters of Romans set that to rest. Pretty much essentially calls us monsters. That we are perverse. We are wicked. Every time we have an opportunity to do evil, we do it. Isaiah says, we like sheep have gone astray. Romans chapter 5, the very first verse says, and we'll read that, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You only can have peace with someone that you've been previously at war with. The message of the Bible is that we are at war with God, that we are born at war with God. And that while we were enemies of God, Jesus Christ came and died. God sent his Son to die for us so that we would no longer be his enemy. We would be his friends, his son, his heir, his bride. And so some people take that, now that I'm saved, my sins are all paid for, I must be able to do whatever I want. And that's exactly what he addresses in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? It is true, and I've been asked at work by several people, so you mean to tell me, Brian, that if you were to go murder someone, that you would still go to heaven when you die? Absolutely. I can, as a Christian, there is nothing that I can do that's going to cost me my salvation. Might cost me everything else. Might cost me my wife, my kids. Might cost me a good relationship with my father. But it will not cost me my salvation. Well, the next question is, so you can do whatever you want. Yeah, I can. My salvation is not dependent on that. However, now that I've been saved, it's not that I can do whatever I want. I don't want to do those things anymore, hopefully. I used to work with a guy who had diabetes, had to take insulin all the time. He would eat whatever he wanted, donuts, cupcakes, and he would just inject a little bit more insulin. Now, I know the makers of that product, and the diabetes associations out there, they did not come up with insulin so he could eat whatever he wanted. But he took it that way. And, keeps the sugar around, and he can do it. And I don't know how long he'll be able to do that. But that product wasn't made for him to eat whatever he wants and just, take a little more medicine here, a little more medicine there. Same way, God did not die for us so that we can do whatever we want. The first reason and we don't sin anymore is that as believers now, we're dead to sin. Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've also been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified by him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Baptism is one of those, I think, doctrines we don't really understand very well. It's not, not until I got to seminary, and I went to a Christian college as well. Was baptism really even discussed, really in full? I was with my wife yesterday at Joanne's fabric store. I don't belong in there. I just don't. They got all sorts of, if you are a craft person, they got everything you would ever imagine you could want in there. And then I walk through and I try to be a good husband and I'm trying to keep my kids corralled and I'm trying to understand what's going on. And I go to the little sewing section of my wife and they must have 500-600 patterns. Now, I understand that those patterns are important and that if you're going to make a dress or something that, and my wife does, that you need those patterns. I have no clue what they're for. I don't know what they do. I don't know why you need them. I just know she tells me she needs it. We get the pattern. Baptism is the same, kind of the same way. We know we got to do it. We may not understand what's going on with it. God tells us to do it, so we do it. And that's really, really as far as a lot of our understanding goes. I know it's important. I'm not really sure why God tells me to do it. I'm going to do it. Baptism really is explained here, where it says we were baptized into Jesus Christ. We were baptized into his death. Now, baptism does not save you, doesn't wash away your sins. The blood of Christ does all of that. Jesus Christ was baptized. If baptism washed away sins, what was his baptism for? He was perfect. He had no sin. We get baptized as a symbol, just as Christ was baptized as a symbol, that we are dying to ourselves. So we are dead. When Christ is baptized, it's a symbol that he is dying to his own will. Throughout all of the Gospels, Jesus says, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. When my Father tells me to do something, that's what I do. My meat is to do the will of my Father. He is baptized saying he is dead to his own will, that he will do what the Father says. So come to the cross where he says, if there's a way for this cup to pass, yet your will, not mine, be done. He goes under the water. It's a symbol. He is dead to his own will. Whatever the Father desires and wants, he will do. When we get baptized, it's the same thing. We are symbolizing that we are dead to sin, that we are dead to ourselves. We are uniting. It's a symbol that we are united with Christ. Just as he died, we die as well. And just as he is raised, we're raised as well. I have a guy I used to live with in seminary. Came from Middle East. And when he accepted Christ, his parents, right to his face, said, you're dead to us. He said that when someone converts away from Islam into Christianity or any other faith, that several families will have funerals for their son, their whoever it is. They will no longer acknowledge that person even lives, that person exists, that they have any connection to that person. We are to be the same way to sin, that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Master, sin should be dead to us. Christ died for my sins. I, through accepting him as my Savior, died with him. We are dead to sin. The good news on that is we don't have to sin, that Christ has freed us from that. The bad news is there's no excuse for when we do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, it talks about we're being slaves to sin. Romans 5 says we're no longer slaves. Here in verse 6, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. When you're a slave to something, you can kind of understand. Well, you know, he's a slave to that. You know, when I go to work, you understand that I do the things I do there because that's where I work. That's where I get paid. That's why he does it. So when you're bound to something, you can kind of maybe understand what's going on. But when a Christian sins, it is completely, there is absolutely no excuse for what we do. It's someone that we used to serve. Christ has broken that bondage from, and we go back into it willingly. We have absolutely no excuse for any of the sins we do. But on the positive, we no longer have to sin. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, the old man being sin, our sin nature, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died is free. We should not sin. First reason, grace has given us, has killed us, essentially. We are dead to sin. We no longer have to serve it. The second point is, though, not only has grace killed us to sin, has made us dead to sin, but God's grace has made us alive together with him. Pick it up in verse 8 where it says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. In a life that I now live according to the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you ever walk through a prison every sort of crime you'll find there. You'll find people there who've robbed banks, maybe get 20 years for that. You know, they're not robbing banks anymore. They're in prison. They're dead to robbing banks. They can't go anywhere. They have no access to a gun. They can't get to a bank. How good is that? Okay, they don't rob banks anymore. It doesn't change their nature. It isn't changing about them. If God had just killed us to sin, that's good, but it's only halfway. Just like the bank robber can't rob a bank if I'm free to sin. I need more than that. And Christ, through His grace, when I accept Him as my Savior, you're united to Him so that when He was resurrected from the dead, we are as well. Look at in the middle of verse 9, where it says, death no longer has dominion. That word is used of a king. Where the king owns, not like in England where the king's kind of just set up. Talking more in the Roman world, if the emperor said it, it happened. That's the word here, is like a Caesar's dominion. The dominion has complete control. And that's what sin used to have on us. But now we're raised with Him. Where it says, He who died, verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Because of Christ's resurrection, we now live for God. God not only gave me the ability to not sin, He gives us the ability to live for Him. So when Christ says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, God's given me the ability to do that. When the commandments throughout the Bible, when God has told me to do those things, when God has told you to do those things, He's given you the ability to do them. God has not asked anything in Scripture that He hasn't given the believer the ability to do. It might seem hard. It might seem impossible. But God is faithful in that. Back when Israel was at war, when Saul was on the throne, Jonathan and his armor bearer were together. Big army of Philistines they wanted to fight. Jonathan says, hey, armor bearer, let's go fight. Now, if I were the armor bearer, I'd say, good luck. Armor bearer says, all right, let's go. Jonathan says, God is not limited to deliver by many or by few. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer, two guys, march right up to the Philistine camp and defeat them. Well, because God had given Jonathan a mission, seemed incredible, seemed impossible. God through them gets it done. Gideon fights an army of over 100,000 people with 300. Because again, God very intentionally limited how many people Gideon had. When God told Moses to strike the rock to get water, water came forth. God is faithful. And when God said He wants us to do things, He gives us the ability to do it. And it ends here where it says, likewise also, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto Christ Jesus our Lord. The word reckon there is a banking term where you count. I can go online and I see how much money I have in the bank. And when I write a check, I have faith that the bank is not going to lie to me, that money is there. I count that. I reckon that. So that when I write a check to the church, or you know, we pay for our utilities, I'm putting faith in the bank that what they said is true. It's the same word here, is that we're to count ourselves dead to sin. And when we say sin, you know what? God promised me I'm dead to it. I'm going to have the faith and I'm going to trust that I am dead to it. But not only that, it says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That now I have faith that whenever God tells me to do something, I can do it. That when God says He will do something, the Bible from cover to cover is filled with examples of God saying, I'm going to do something, and then doing it. And so it's because of grace that we're dead to sin, and it's because of grace that we are alive to sin, that we no longer have to serve our lust, sin, the devil, that we can serve Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I'm reminded, Lord, in reading Romans, Lord, that how miserable that I am without you. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I have nothing to offer you, that you died for me anyway. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ, Lord, that today that they will realize their need for you, that they are at war with you, Lord, and that they need a Savior. Lord, for those who are Christians, Lord, who are maybe struggling with particular areas of sin, Lord, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's, I don't know, anger, Lord, whatever. Lord, you know the sins that beset us, Father. Lord, I pray that today we will confess them, that we will hand them over to you, Lord, and that we will, by your power, overcome them. Lord, I love you and I need you. In your name we pray. Amen.